Christmas doesn't begin with the story of Mary and Joseph. Jesus is begotten, not made, born, but always was. The same Lord who spoke to Moses from the burning bush comes near to us. Jesus is Adonai, the Lord of Lords, God of Gods, King of Kings. The early church at Christmas reminded the church to call Jesus by name. This week it is O Adonai. This Christmas we remember the great I Am has come close. Jesus, our Lord, is here.
Let's start a little bit differently today. Let's start with a bit of poetry, shall we? This is O Adonai by Malcolm Guite, and it sounds like this. Unsayable, you chose to speak one tongue. Unseeable, you gave yourself away. The Adonai, the tetragrammation, Yahweh, grew by a wayside in the light of day. Oh, you who dared to be a tribal God, to own a language, a people, and a place, who chose to be exploited and betrayed, if so, you might be met face to face. Come to us here, who could not find you there, who chose to know the skin and not the pith, who heard no more than thunder in the air, and who marked the mere events, not the myth. Touch the bare branches of unbelief and blaze again like a fire in every leaf. If you grew up Anglican, you know these are called the antiphons. If you didn't grow up Anglican, these are called I love it. Everyone else gets music, and so at Christmas, behind when I speak, so do I. The antiphons, they are a series of prayers, and they are taken from Isaiah's prophecies regarding the forthcoming Messiah. Each one begins with O. Everybody say O.
O.
You can do better than that. I just heard you a minute ago. Everybody say O.
O.
Wasn't it so cute when Pastor Rhonda, you want Pastor Rhonda in your corner, because she kept saying, like, you guys were amazing. And if I was up here listening to everything you were doing, I would say you were pretty good. How many of you have heard amazing before? We were pretty good. We were pretty good. But Pastor Rhonda would say, no, you're amazing. And how many of you know, again, you want her in your corner? Yes, you do. And so the first antiphon is O Adonai. Everyone say O Adonai. It just means O Lord. Now, when you meet someone for the very first time, a question is often asked, or you often ask them a question, and it is this: what's your name? So turn to the person beside you, look them right in the eyes, and say, what's your name? And then answer them, like, not just. Now again, in doing something, just a little simple kindness like this, it moves the people around us from unknown to known. It doesn't mean that we know everything about them, but it means that we know something. And what I love about even different cultures is that for some cultures, it's like, well, that's the name that I thought best suited them. But for others, it's no, the name that I gave them speaks into the destiny of who they are. And so you just heard names, and in some, you just kind of heard little things, but sometimes there's depth and meaning to what it is that we do. It's interesting. In the Bible, we're often introduced to characters and stories, and in that way, we learn names. In the differing stories that each one of them has, one of the things that I love to do, and whether it's Old Testament or New Testament, I love to look for these little idiosyncratic moments of similarity. Just these things that they do that I could also do, that we could do to become more like Jesus. And today we're going to look at two. We're going to look at Moses and we're going to look at Joseph, because they share and they do something in common. In Exodus, Moses sees a, is that distracting the music for you? Okay, we'll turn it off. No music for me. In Exodus, Moses sees a burning bush, but it's not being consumed. And Moses, he pauses to consider. And in the pausing to consider why he sees a shrub that is on fire, that is not being consumed, he pauses to see, and him pausing to see, God moves. Do you know that God sometimes moves when you pause? Do you know sometimes God is just waiting for you to pause? Sometimes when I'm praying and I'm tense or I'm frustrated or I'm worked up about something, sometimes I just pour my heart out to the Lord, and it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. But sometimes I catch myself and I hear myself and I remind myself, just take a breath. God, would you meet me here in this moment? And so Moses, he sees a bush that is burning and is not being consumed. And somehow in him noticing and pausing, God notices that Moses pauses. And in that pause, Moses meets God. And Moses asks God what you all just asked each other. What's your name? See, Moses is Hebraic. He's Hebrew by birth, but he's been raised in Egypt. So he's been raised that Pharaoh is God, and there's lots of other gods. So when he has this encounter, he has this moment of, well, what's your name among all of these other gods? Who are you? What's your name? Here's what it says in Exodus chapter 3, verses 13. If I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What should I tell them? And so phrased a little bit differently, if I'm going to use a name, everyone just whisper a name. If I'm going to use a name to describe you to others, which should I use? And what is fascinating is that God replies to Moses with his name. God replies to Moses and says, I am who I am. In other words, pause here. Here is a truth. We as a human species did not define God. God defined himself for us. I am who I am. And this is what you are to say to the Israel, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say this to the Israelites, the Lord, or the Adonai, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This name, this Adonai, this I am, this Lord of Lords, God of God, King of all kings, is my name forever. And this is how I am to be remembered in every generation. It's remarkable to me that not only God is, but God has a name. Further to that, here's what's remarkable. Do you know that God cares what you call him? He cares what we call him. In fact, in his Ten Commandments that later he gives to this same character, he actually commands that my name is not to be taken in vain. He cares about how and how we describe him. He really does. In Hebrew, the name Adonai just means my Lord. And God tells Moses, for all generations, I am Adonai. I am the Lord of all lords. I am the God of all small g gods. And I am the King of all kings. In other words, he says to Moses, you have grown up in a culture that says Pharaoh is at the top, but I'm here to tell you that I am greater than Pharaoh. And when you say it to the children of Israel, you are not introducing them to a new God. I am the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, to a people that may feel forgotten under Egyptian rule. I am still there, God. Adonai, remarkably, if we pull the story of Moses, we see all the way in the Old Testament, he meets with people in particular places. But at Christmas, we celebrate something quite unique, and it is this. As you journey from Genesis to Exodus to Leviticus to Numbers to Deuteronomy to the wisdom to the poetry, the major prophets, the minor prophets, all the way to the New Testament, you have seen God using prophets and priests and kings. And then we open up the book of Matthew, or we open up the book of Luke, or as the children come up and they tell a story, they begin to tell the same story of Adonai done a little bit differently. Because at Christmas, God isn't going to use a prophet like Isaiah, a priest like Moses, or even a king like David. Adonai himself, our perfect prophet, priest, and king, he came to accomplish what we could never do for ourselves. Christmas is, never forget, a rescue mission, for unto us, unto humanity, a Savior is born. 2,000 years after Abraham hears of a seed, 1,400 years after Moses learns of a prophet, 1,000 years after David hopes for a future king, 700 years after Isaiah tells a story of a son-bearing virgin, 600 years after Daniel speaks of a stone, 9 months after Gabriel appears to Mary, Adonai arrives. Please hear me with both ears and your whole heart. Christmas is slow, and then all of a sudden, it's suddenly. God seemingly moves slow, and then all of a sudden, he moves. It's how he works. And here is the little idiosyncratic moment that Moses has, that Joseph has as well, that I pray this Christmas season, in this message devotional, you would embrace. The birth of Jesus Christ came about this way. After his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, okay, let's have a little pause moment here. Everyone look this way. We do this at Easter, and we're gonna do it again here. It's a little Bible trivia. And if you want a hint, I just read her name. Who was the very first Christian theologian? The answer is Mary. It was a woman. Turn to the person beside you and go, mm-hmm. I knew it. She's the first one in her magnificent to have revelation that she's carrying the Son of God, and she sings a song about who he is. First Christian theologian, Mary. Pretty amazing. Let's keep moving. Some of you are freaking out right now. It's okay. If you're Baptist, welcome. We love you. We are one in Christ. We have differences, and that's okay. Differences are okay. We don't demonize one another over differences. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. Everyone said? Amen. Amen. After his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, it was discovered before they came together that she was pregnant from the Holy Spirit. And so her husband Joseph, being a righteous man, and not wanting to disgrace her publicly, decided to divorce her secretly. Joseph is an honorable man, but in this moment, he's actually moving incorrectly with how God is at work in his story. Sometimes you need to pause because your natural instincts, even if they are from honor, may not be leading you in the way that God is at work. Moses stops to see a bush that is burning and not being consumed. And because he stops, God sees that he stops, and he meets them here. Joseph does something remarkably wise. He makes a decision, and then he sleeps on it. How many of you wish sometimes that you slept before you sent that text? Draft the email, but keep it in drafts, because you might feel differently in the morning. I'm gonna give you a piece of my mind. Some of you don't have any pieces left to give. You need every one of them. Stop giving them away. I've sometimes in conversations, one with another, it's bubbling up and everything is saying, don't say it, 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 don't say it. And then what do you do? Learn from Joseph. Pause. Moses stops to see and God notices, and Joseph just stops to consider. And God sees that he pauses and he sends an angel. But after he'd considered these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Every one of us this afternoon who this applies to, at Christmas time, it is holy to take naps. Remind people today, I'm going to do something biblical. I'm just going to have a little lie down. All right, Joseph did it, and the Lord met him there. He might meet me there. I'm going to pause and posture myself before the Lord and see if he might speak. You never know. If you have a really, really weird dream, that probably was lunch. That's all I'm saying. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream saying, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. I want you to humanize him for a moment. I want you to humanize him for a moment, Mary and Joseph. Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. But this is going to forever change my reputation. This is going to forever change the story of my life. But here we are over 2,000 years later, and guess whose story we're talking about? Every one of our testimonies is God interrupting our reputation for something greater. It's how he works. Don't see God's divine interruption as a problem. See it as an invitation into him writing something greater. Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what has been conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you're to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Now, you and I, we don't use today the title Lord very much. But we do often speak about how others use their power, their influence, and their authority. In fact, I have been in conversations with people who get frustrated how others are using their power, their influence, and their authority, and they blurt out something to the effect like, you don't have to lord it over me. This is the heart of it. This is the heart of what we're digging into. Because what was true then is also true today, and it is this. While we may not use the title Lord often, someone and something in our culture always desires to have power, authority, influence, and mastery over your life. But Christmas is the grand reversal. If you understand that and begin to read Christmas, you'll see it everywhere. The high become low, and the low are called higher. It is this grand reversal everywhere, and here we see it, that the Adonai, O Lord, God of gods, King of kings, and Lord of lords, when he comes into the world, he is forever these things, but he comes into the world not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Isn't it remarkable that Adonai, how he uses his power, is not just to lord over, but to serve. Under loved ones, as followers of Jesus, this is the way in which we steward power, authority, influence, or mastery. Adonai comes into the world to save the world from sin, and he chooses to come in the form of a vulnerable baby who grows into a man who gives his life for each and every one of us. This morning, we are going to, in just a moment, celebrate communion. So I'm going to encourage you to locate your element as I continue. Just locate your element quietly so that I can continue. Thank you. Moses considers why a bush is burning and not being consumed, and Adonai notices. And Joseph, he considers these things, and in the pause, he also has an encounter with Adonai. And so as you're receiving your communion element, here's my question. In this pause, who or what desires to hold power, authority, or influence over you? I want you to think about it. Who or what desires to hold power, authority, or influence over you in this season? And I promise you this, while all of our circumstances might be different, here's what we can learn from Moses and Joseph. They both do something similar. They pause. And in pausing, I promise you that Adonai will notice and he will meet you there. Aren't you glad that God still meets people in particular places? He really does. And so during this Christmas season, here's my prayer. Don't let the busy rob the merry. In other words, don't let the cultural part of Christmas rob you of the meaning of Christmas. Don't let all the stuff crowd out the wonder that unto you a Savior is born. That the greatest gift of Christmas is not what is under a tree. The greatest gift is that Adonai hung on a tree for me and for you. And here's the remarkable thing. He still wants to meet you in particular places as we take holy moments to pause. And so if the Holy Spirit reveals that someone or something is holding too much power, too much influence in your life, are you ready for some good news? You say, well, what do I do if my life is to please this person and I just keep struggling with that? Or what do I do if this situation just keeps lording it over me and just drains me of life? What do I do with it? Well, here's the remarkable thing. You don't even need to dethrone those things. You know what you need to do? You need to do what Moses did and what Joseph did, which is just enthrone Adonai as Lord of all. And guess what? He does the rest. You don't have to do the work to set yourself free. You just have to pause and posture and present Jesus in your life as the Lord of all. And who the Son sets free is free indeed. And so a way that you and I can enthrone Jesus in our lives is by remembering who he is, why he came to earth, why there is Christmas at all, and what he forever accomplished on our behalf. And Jesus gave his disciples, which we now are his followers, a way to do this, and it's called communion. There's lots of ways, but this is a way. It's a way for us to pause and to remember. And in doing so, in this simple act together, we are enthroning, O Adonai, to the highest place in our stories. Let's put our hands in front of us like this. And let's together pray, Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me just the way I am, yet loving me enough not to leave me the way I am. And so I confess that I am a sinner in need of saving. Save me today, through and through. Amen. On the night when he was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it, and he said it was representative of his body that was going to be broken for all of our brokenness, all the stuff that shouldn't be, that is, that wants to have influence and lord over us. And he said, take it and eat it, and as often as you do, in this moment, not in remembrance of the brokenness, but in remembrance of Adonai's brokenness. And so let's enthrone him together by partaking of the bread. And then after supper, he took the wine or the juice and said it was representative of his blood that was going to be shed for the forgiveness of our sins. And as snow has already blanketed our city, though our sin is as scarlet as this, Adonai promises, based on what he's done, he makes us whiter than snow. And so let's receive fresh forgiveness for sin. Now, because we're not a movie theater, but a church, you bring these with you and you throw them out when you leave, not on the ground, okay? At the movie theater, I don't care what you do. Or if you go to the Canadian Tire Center, have at it, I don't care. Here, we bring them. Dio? Let's welcome Parker and Emma as we close our service today.